yesterday when we were coming to the border there, customs, and the fellow asked, where are you going? What are you doing? We said, to visit friends. Friends, that's what you are to us this morning. Though we don't know all of you personally by name, but Jesus said, I call you no more servants, but I call you a friend. And I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, the one that can make us friends through him. Good to be here with you this morning. It's you have a new building here since we were here last, and I trust that this building can be filled up with those that are out in the highways, those that are seeking. Sometimes when we drive by this road, I look up here, there's the church, Hopefully it's filling up those that need to hear the glorious gospel message. A couple of the message I have this morning, I had about a month ago. Meantime, different things have happened. It was Friday night, 2 weeks ago. We were at home, expecting company. Full evening planned, Got a call. The phone call was, pray. Now, it's a spiritual warfare going on. And then they said, Mark is hurt. And that was it. Phone shut down. That was our son. And, of course, it wasn't long, 5 minutes, whatever. We found out what had happened, with her son out in Ottawa. And the title of my message then is, Blessed Are the Persecuted. This was before I knew what was happening. Now the message is after what happened. But again, I challenge all of us this morning, unless we're born again, unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not a child of God this morning. And however, as much as the Holy Spirit brings unity one to each other and peace to the believer, it also brings division between righteousness and worldliness, between truth and false doctrine. Jesus said in that Sermon on the Mount, Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say the kingdom of this world. And I believe many times people are sitting in the church and think, well, we've got to get this world a little bit better. That's not what Jesus said. No, he said, Blessed are the persecuted for righteousness' sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is something coming, dear people, this morning. And we already heard it while sitting here among you, that there is a better day of coming for the child of God. It won't be just in this natural here. No, it won't be. And we would think once we finally yield our body to the Lordship of Jesus Christ that he would protect us from all evil, especially from evil men. But not so according to history and even to Jesus' own words in Luke 12. Turn there with me, please. Luke 12, verses 51 to 53, the scripture has thus to say, in Jesus' own words, he said, Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. These are sad words. But Jesus said, this is what is going to take place. The results of the Holy Spirit bring a life and a testimony from a believer that the world hates. Yes, he does. And we would like to think it's just out there, but it also says it comes within the church, it comes within the home, and it comes within your very life, you know. There is a fight between good and evil this morning, in the spirit world and also in the natural. In many homes, there are divisions between parents and siblings because one or the other is not desiring to follow the teaching of Christ. There are many parents in our Mennonite circles that are hurting this morning because the children want something else than this word this morning. Yes, indeed. How many homes are devastated with one member marrying a divorced person? It's coming right in among us, dear people, this morning. Yes, it is. For an example, I had two girls in instruction class out of the same family. And they would be now up in, I guess, early 30s, whatever. Within the last 2 years, they all have walked away from their husbands. This is right in the Mennonite church. People I had in instruction class. There are divisions coming right among us, you know, because of truth. But of course, people are saying that is wrong anymore because we have a whole set of new problems now, you know. It still is just as wrong as ever. Yes, it is. But we have more of that, so we don't think so much of it. Same-sex marriage, and the list goes on. The scripture does not change this morning, and truth will divide. It is not a religion, as Chrislam has it, that you can be half Christian and half Muslim. Truth divides, and that does not mean we become racist through that, but should so much more show the love of God to a lost and dying world round about us. Yes, Romans 8:13 has this to say, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Yes, we shall live. But the old man has to die in order to have that new life. Like the book of Hebrews, it is a book of better things to come. And we can experience that in our day. To you this morning, your former buddies will see in you a change to the point they wish they could have what you have, or they will end up laughing and mocking you. There will be a division. And sometimes I believe in the Mennonite church, we can do, well, you know, we still have the same buddies. We still have everything that's going on as ever. But there's a change in a child of God when he is born again. Yes, it is. 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn there with me, please. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. It says this, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, this gives us, it can happen. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. If perchance this morning we're called to suffer, remember one thing, Christ suffered for your sins and mine. Yes, he did. He was spotless. He was sin-free. And it's like the brother had in teaching here in Sunday school. He took on blood so that he could experience pain, and rightly so. He was put to death. Why? So that we could have an easier life? No. In verse 14, it says here, but, And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And that happy is the same blessed, is the same word as blessed, in which means blessed. Same word is used there in John 13. Happy are ye if you do these things. The same words that Jesus had on the Sermon on the Mount. Persecution this morning is an act or practice of persecuting the affliction of pain, punishment, or death on others unjustly, particularly for adhering to a religious creed or mode of worship. And then tribulation is often closely connected. Severe afflictions, distress of life. In scriptures, it often denotes the trouble and distresses which proceed from persecution. And here we sit this morning, dear people, and we say we are free. We're not persecuted. We worship as we please and how we please. But then I'd like to ask the question this morning, or are we not persecuted because there is not much difference between us and the world? John 16:33, it says, there will be tribulation in the world, but praise the Lord, this morning you and me can have peace. As Christ overcame, so can you. Be of good cheer this morning. But if you, or I this morning, like the early church and all of church history, were to give our last goodbyes. And today there are people that are giving their last goodbyes. Yeah. You think of the Middle East. You think of all those countries out there. The pressure is on the church this morning. And I realize some of those churches in the Middle East, I don't know how clear they all are in the Orthodox doctrine and so forth. But they're walking out there, and their head comes off. And then I ask the question, would we still have that good cheer? Would we still have that calmness that the Holy Spirit within us, to know as we walk out there by the seashore and a head comes off, as it were, that the best is still to come? That is not the end for the child of God, and neither is it for the ungodly. Dear people, be of good cheer. Things are not getting any better in this world. No, they're not. They're not. But that doesn't mean we have to sit here in doom and gloom this morning. We're looking for our Savior to come again, and that has been the hope all through the church age. There is something better that is coming for the child of God. Praise God for that. Romans 5. It has this to say. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do you get that this morning? Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory. Oh, now this is a verse we don't like. But we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation is going to do something. It is going to work patience. And patience, experience. We'd rather not experience this, you know. Experience, and that experience brings hope. Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Glory in tribulation, it says, and that produces patience and experience and hope. And this hope does not make us ashamed, because Jesus is coming again. Yes, he is. Jesus is coming again. And there are rewards for every child of God, even if they face persecutions. There's a better day coming. The things of this world will make us ashamed, dear people. Yes, it will. Any professional sports player, finally as he runs, he will stumble as he gets near the finish line and somebody else runs ahead. And he is ashamed. Age has taken a hold of a person like that, or whatever else it may be. And he finally has to admit he isn't what he once was. Any professional business person will finally have to realize, even Donald Trump, that all his wise decisions that he may be made in doing business, somewhere he will falter. That's right. No matter who we are, Mennonite or whatever, this morning. But praise God, this morning we'll never have to be ashamed of living for God. You never have to be ashamed of living for God, and even if it means for dying for him. No, not ashamed. People are so afraid. Just read the other day in our local paper that they're thinking of how over in the Middle East right now, how can these Christians finally say, well, they can still be a Muslim, just so to save their head, as it were. They are trying to think, how can we get around this? Well, either you're a child of God or you're not this morning. There's no middle in between. But are we willing to count the cost? In Romans 8, 35, a question is asked here. Romans 8, 35, a question is asked. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? A question mark. It says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or a sword? And I put it in there, or death. Shall this separate us from the love of God? And thus it becomes very personal to each one of us this morning. Our relationship with Christ. What can separate us? Shall it be any of these things that were mentioned here? Christians have been slaughtered by the millions. And to many people, they're no different than animals this morning. But let's not forget, when souls have been changed by Jesus Christ, there will be only, even through death, there will be only a reuniting with Jesus Christ. And death is nothing. The rewards are coming for the child of God. We're not like the Muslim religion. No, we're not. We don't have the same God this morning. May I get this very clear? I hear in our Mennonite circles that, well, it's still the same God. Let me say with all charity this morning that if their God doesn't have a son, Jesus Christ, then we're not of the same God. That's it. And that brings persecution. Because Jesus Christ is the pivotal point, has always been. What you make of him will determine your destiny. Romans 8:36, it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him, through Jesus Christ that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah this morning. For what a wonderful promise that you can claim as your own this morning. Nothing shall be able to separate you from what Jesus Christ has done for you and as you walk with him. But you know, in persecution and tribulation, there is a refining that takes place that we would all like to bypass. Yes, we would. But it brings along, I still remember going to Romania back under communism. In the churches there, they all spoke of Jesus Christ coming again. They were persecuted. Yes, they were. But it brought forth a refining. You know, all the churches there, they could fellowship together. Whether they were Pentecostal or Baptist or Brethren, you know, they had something in common. They were looking for Jesus to come again. It brings a refining. It's the very thing we like to get away from, is tribulations and persecutions. John the Revelator said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And he wasn't in too nice situation. He wasn't at home on the Lazy Boy when he said that. No, he wasn't. And I want to ask the question this morning, can we really say this morning? And if you're not a Christian, you can't say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." No, you can't. But from the youngest believer this morning to the oldest, I ask the question, do you love the world or are you longing for heaven? There's a big difference. Is it persecution that would help us to set our priorities right this morning? And God forbid that we pray for persecution. Scripture says that's not what we're called to pray for. We're called to pray that we can live peacefully in this land. But with that peace is a tremendous responsibility laid upon us. Yes, it is. Romans 12, verses 12 to 21. 12 to 21. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations. There it is again. Something's, and I believe, if I may say this, something is coming for the church in North America, if the Lord tarries. I'm looking for the rapture of the church. Yes, I am. But in the meantime, it won't get easier to live the Christian life. As our nations depart from the basic truth of God, there will be utter hatred against truth. And you and I better be that living truth. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. That's easy this morning. But then it goes on, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Payday is coming. Yes, it is. You don't have to mete out the pay to a person that persecuted you. God will take care of that. Yes, he will. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What is it to be patient in such trials? Persevering. And I believe this word means fully and only depending on that relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer. You know, in our day, we can depend on a lot of other things. But to come to the place where we fully depend on Jesus Christ, and I believe that's what the psalmist David had to do many a time. Finally, his army wasn't big enough and all those things. He had to be running from Saul day after day. Fully depend on Jesus Christ. My armor bearer wasn't good enough anymore. My armor I had on wasn't good anymore. I depend on Jesus Christ. And that's when the church flourishes. Yes, it will. When you find that only you and God. God can do many wonderful things when people find him. That's the only refuge, not the wallet, not anything else. You know, all of us will have to admit this morning, this is something we need more of, I need more of, you need more of, is a full dependence upon Christ. To be able to bless our persecutors, to be able to learn to rejoice, but also know what it means to weep with them that weep. I was blessed in the last couple of weeks. In fact, just this past week, I was at a funeral, and an old Mennonite man came to me. And they're not what you call mission-minded, you know. They're not, they were the quiet in the land, you know, just live it and just drive your horse right, and that should show to who you are. This one minister came and he said, made a profound statement. He said, "I hope this does not deter your son to keep on witnessing." That blessed me to hear it coming from a setting like that. The Lord is speaking. You know. The Lord wants people to rally in the day and age that we're living in to be a faithful witness of Jesus Christ. To be able to weep this morning, to get the heartbeat of the church over in the Middle East, wherever they're coming together, for those that are walking out today for the last time and being killed. We have to get that heartbeat to weep with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. You know, we have to know what it means. You know, when the detectives come and they ask your son, "Press charges, that's the only way to do this thing, press charges." No, no, we're not out to make money from this deal. We're not out to make a big splash. You know? We're not out to have some revenue coming in. No. No, it's not the way. Let the world deal with the world. It's their duty to take that person off the street and take care of them and whatever the law requires. It's not, we have a greater mission this morning, dear people. It is to bring that person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be forgiven, to be free, to be whole. That's the mission, dear people, this morning. Lift her up to the prayer room, and God can do mighty things this morning. Yes, I'm convinced of that. You know, but we want to do so many things. We want to have lawsuits and the whole bit, you know. It's coming into our churches, you know. It scares me. What does the Bible say? If we aren't clear in those things, you'll never be clear when persecution strikes either. No, we won't. And finally, it says here, God will repay everything in due time. Don't rush God this morning. He's got everything timed. He'll take care of everything. He's a just God. Even through much tribulation, God has rewards for those that are faithful. Praise God this morning for that. We realize that we read the words there in Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. This morning it is a fight between right and wrong. And the scripture says, have you done all that you can to stand? That's our mission this morning, dear people. Or are we doing everything in our own power to stand? Or are we leaning upon the Word of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and to stand as the evil gets worse and worse? Yeah. It will get worse. It has been said by Tertullian years ago, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. And history has proven itself when the church is persecuted, the very thing none of us want. It is then that the church becomes alive. When you're faced with tribulation, you either compromise or you become alive this morning. Christ is real and Christ is worth dying for. Let's never forget that. Yes, he is. People may question the word of God, but when you read of what the church stood for and lived for and died for, Jesus was no fake to these people. No, he wasn't. Whatever it was worth it when Jesus Christ empowered the church there in the early age with the Holy Spirit. We know that this was before the Holy Spirit. But John the Baptist, when he went to the king there and he told them that you are living in an adulterous relationship. There was a fight between truth and between righteousness and evil. And John the Baptist lost his head for saying that. How many of us would be here this morning for saying the very same thing? Many of us would not be here if you really believe the word of God. You know, we would have lost our head already. Yes, we would. When Jesus Christ was born, there came immediate opposition in this world between the king of this world, King Herod, and the King of Glory. Every boy child within the area was killed. And mothers, it could have been two of your boys too. Under 2 years old. And that means there could have been two boys out of your family that could have been killed. And to think of every mother's heart that would have been, I can't fathom these innocent children carried away and slaughtered. Every father, how many tears were shed over that time? I cannot fathom. Why? Because we're in a spiritual conflict. Good versus evil. And then Jesus Christ gave his life because of the religious and the political world. They felt threatened because of truth. It threatened them. It threatened their pocketbook. It threatened the way we always did things. And we cannot afford this. And thus, there was conflict. In Acts 7, you know, as the stones were coming against Stephen there, he looked up. And this was only 4 years after Christ was crucified. And Stephen looked up. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." What a homegoing. As the stones were coming against you. And Jesus Christ standing up there beside the Father. Welcoming Stephen home. Mission completed. Rewards to come. No wonder Saul had his name changed to Paul. Down the road, because Paul, I believe, saw something there that he would rather not have seen for the mission that he was after. Many others too. Something spoke through the Holy Spirit there. The apostles of Jesus Christ, living the Christian life was real to them. James in AD 45 was beheaded. And Philip, in AD 54, he was fastened his head to a pillar. And he was stoned to death. James was thrown from the temple. And he didn't die from that fall. I guess he broke a few legs, whatever. He was stoned, beaten to death yet. Barnabas, dragged out of the city and burned. Mark, in AD 64, he died while being dragged to the stake. And Simon Peter in AD 69, after Peter preached the gospel for 37 years, 7 years old, Nero of Rome crucified him. And at Peter's request, he wanted to be crucified upside down on a cross. And historians say Peter wept much in his day, and people would ask you why. Why? And he said, "Because I love Jesus Christ very much." Every time a rooster crowed, Peter wept. Brought back memories of his unfaithfulness to Christ. True repentance. You know, this was real for him. When Peter saw his beloved wife being led out to be put to death on account of having confessed her faith in Jesus Christ, he addressed her in these words, "O my beloved wife, hath the Lord Jesus always before thine eyes. This is the marriage of saints." Life isn't over. Encourage her. Be faithful, as it were. You know, the best is still to come. Paul, who in the same year, after severe persecution, was finally beheaded also by Nero in Rome. And let us not forget the words of Paul. There in Timothy, when he could say those words, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." and then the crown. The best is still to come for the child of God. Yeah. Don't give up, brethren, sisters. Times are not that rosy. But keep the faith. Press on. And the list goes on of all the mockers. John on the Isle of Patmos, his only fellowship with poisonous snakes and wild animals. But he had a relationship with God. Jesus Christ revealed himself into one of the most beautiful books in the New Testament. You know, Revelations. Book I don't understand, but I believe it. I really believe it. He was taken off the isle because he didn't die there. He had to drink poison, and he still was unharmed, and finally he could die in peace in Ephesus after preaching 51 years, being 80 years old. Mission completed. Yeah. Second century, Onesimus, former slave of Philemon, in AD 111, was stoned to death in Rome. And we read the history there from one century to the next, of suffering, of tears, of blood, and death. Throughout the British Isles there, in the known world, persecution continued, and oftentimes the conflict was between a believer's baptism and infant baptism. How many Mennonites in our church are there? Well, big deal. I won't lose my head on account of that. To them, it was life or death because of what the Word says. Are we that convinced this morning? Are we that convinced this morning? And then we look at George Bauman. In 1529, we have a lot of George Baumans in our area. It's spelled exactly the same as this George Bauman. He was tortured, I'll just try to skim over here rapidly. He was tortured, he was racked, and he was in so much pain that he finally recanted of his belief in Christ. Just to get away from all the misery and the hardships. And so they said, okay, then every Sunday for the next Sundays, you have to come and tell the church that you're sorry that you ever believed in Jesus Christ and the whole bit. He came there the third Sunday, and then he said this. He said, "You have condemned me, and through pain and fear prevail upon me to follow you. But now I renounce and revoke it all, and I'm sorry that I did it." Thus he began and confessed anew that this was the divine truth and the truth faith, yea, the way to life in Christ, and that on the other hand, the idolatrous life and the ways of the world are a delusion and contrary to God. In this faith and confession, he intended to continue and persevere unto the end. For what should the priests and servants wait any longer? Hence they quickly apprehended him, and he was speedily sentenced to death. When he was led out to the place of execution, he sang joyfully on the way. It was muddy in the village, but he walked briskly nevertheless. The shoes stayed in the mud. He just pulled his feet out. He never even caught on. But the shoes were not his feet, or the boots were not his feet. And they hurried to the place of execution. And it says that he neared the place. He sang for joy for the liberty in Christ Jesus that was given to him. And the courage in his heart, the courage that he had. Not afraid of it all. But you know, God rewarded every one of those executioners and everybody else with a very early death in their life. A very miserable death. God is in control. And I asked the question this morning, and here we have people finding it. I'm not saying it's here, but in the church, nominal church, and in the Mennonite church too, finding it hard to be enthused about living the Christian life. People that chafe under the rules of a denomination, which the rules should only help us and guide us, especially for those that are still on the milk and haven't gotten into the meat, you know. That's what rules are for. Young people died by the thousands because they knew truth and they stood for it. And I challenge you this morning, how is your faith? Would persecution show what your faith is made up in mine? Could you leave your family like many in the world have if you become a Christian? And you would know it means separation, as for many untold millions. As they leave their business, they leave their homes with the clothes off their back and flee. This is just another thought. Persecution coming. A business, Northern Ontario, closed here just 2 weeks ago, possibly. Because the union came in, and the owner said, okay, I'm going to close the business now. Yeah, friends, it's going to attack us in more ways than just blood. Yeah. Do we know the Word of God this morning? Can we rally around the saints of God and press on? I was blessed by, I still didn't talk with their son. He got a parcel in the mail here on Friday, and he came in late, and we left Saturday morning. Good excuse for not knowing what was in the parcel, but it was from another church, some Baptist church about 3/4 of an hour away. I think they did something with their Sunday school to encourage Mark. That blessed me. And those are things that we can be an example to others. We don't have to compromise on what we believe, but we can show that we're praying. You know, we're concerned about what's happening there. Just a side note there. Would you and I be tempted to fight back when our loved ones are killed, are missing, all our things are taken? Are your investments, are your holdings keeping you from walking and depending on the truth of God's word this morning? Persecution always has made people decide between truth and the world. People don't come into the church if they know it could mean death. People are not baptized if they're afraid of the authorities finding out. You know, Jesus becomes real under persecution. And I don't think we have to wait to be persecuted like many people are to have a real and vibrant faith in Jesus Christ. He wants you to have it now. He wants you to have it now. Real, alive for God. Yes. Just another article that came in which shows where we're heading. Again, the regional body of the United Church of Canada will interview a clergywoman who is an outspoken atheist to see about her effectiveness. So they call a meeting from the top honchos, and so we have to get together and view a formal process within the United Church with which is ordered when serious questions have been raised about a minister's effectiveness. In this case, a team of 5 people will interview Mrs. Washburn. They will report to a larger committee and so forth. Allen explained that the review process will involve interviewing Washburn to see if she continues to affirm certain questions asked during her ordination. And then according to her website, Washburn came out as an atheist back in 2001 and wants the United Church of Canada, which she describes as probably the most progressive Christian denomination in the world. Progressive? Well, that's a nice way of putting it again. Be more welcoming to atheism. This is in so-called inside church walls, eh? And this is what she said: after I spontaneously preached a sermon on which I completely deconstructed the idea of a God, small g, named God, big G. Rather than fire me, the congregation chose to step out on an unmarked path, she says. With them, I've labored, lamented, lost, and loved. It's a hard road, but a worthy one with no finish line in sight. Let's walk this road together. I promise you'll be inspired. This is by an atheist. What do I preach this morning? But I'd have to leave Jesus Christ out. But do you know what she said? With no finish line in sight. of a finish line. It's the same as Apostle Paul's. Yeah. There's a mark up ahead. It's Jesus Christ, unmovable. We don't have to be swayed by things that are going on. There are things that are going on within the church, things that are going on within the Mennonite church. Look ahead to Jesus Christ. The Word of God is sure this morning. It'll carry you through whatever comes ahead in life. Yes, ma'am. Jesus Christ will do that. Are you being persecuted? Most of the body of Christ is. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body." It becomes very personal. And I believe in the times we're in, we're called to rally around as a body. Rejoice with those that rejoice. And then when we're called to cry, weep with those that weep. You know? Yeah. Through it all, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Remember, we have a finish line. The rewards are out of this world. All the saints of old, as they were facing eternity, they could do it with joy, because that was where their hope lied, in Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Kneel for prayer.